All right, well, not only are Reed Martin and I finally in the same county, not only are we in the same city, and no, that city is not Hong Kong, despite the vaguely Asian music that you're hearing in the background, we are in the same Panda Express in Burbank, California. Say hi, Reed.
Hi, Reed.
And we just had our first meeting about the new pilot that we're going to write for TBS, but that's not the only thing we're writing this summer. We are now ready to announce what our new stage show is going to be. Reed, you want to do the honors?
Mm-hmm. It's called Les Miserables.
We hope you like it.
Hi, crack me up. Oh, God.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 132, New Stage Show.
Yeah, it's an announcement, what's only happened five times in the history previously of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We're announcing a new stage show, because I don't think the Shakespeare show was ever sort of announced. It evolved.
It just sort of happened. And certainly it's the first time we've announced a new stage show exclusively on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. This is before it be announced officially anywhere else.
Yeah. And we'll get back to it right after this.
See, we're learning. Now that we're in television, it's all about the tease. You never say what you're going to say. You never say. You say what you're going to say, but then you never say what you said.
Right. What you just said.
Yeah. The new stage show is going to be
touring in the fall of 2010. The Reduced Shakespeare Company will first perform it about 15 months from now. We're going to start writing it this summer, right after this podcast.
Wait, you promised it would write itself. Wait.
Yeah, I know. That's not going too well.
Damn. Curses.
The new stage show is The Complete World of Sports Abridged.
Ta-da! I think a lot of you predicted it.
Was there polling on the website?
There was some polling on the website, but it's interesting, the people on the website who sign up for our things, not all, but many of them wanted something to do with things about the internet or video games.
Huh, what are the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds? maybe that bodes ill for a new show about sports. You know, those people aren't on our website.
Yes, the sports fans are not the ones tweeting.
No, they're not. They're not. Well, it's funny. It evolved. It evolved because we knew we were talking to our booking agent, Neil Benson at Opus 3. We've been talking for several years about the need for a new show, our desire to write a new show, certainly their desire to tour a new show. But it's always a question of, well, what are we interested in? What's a topic that's going to captivate us that's large enough to warrant our attention for not only 15 months in the writing process, but then the subsequent touring and honing for years and years after that?
What's funny is I'm probably the biggest sports geek, and I was the one who took the most convincing. Not that it wasn't a great idea, but I just said, well, how does that work? But you seem to have a handle on sort of the construct of it.
Oh yeah. It's perfect in my head. It's great in my head.
Yeah, that's the most dangerous thing, when it's perfect in your head and terrible on paper.
I know exactly how it's going to work. Well, I guess it was born of the idea, and we talked about this in last week's podcast, about being current with our stage shows. And I think it also might have been born as a reaction to the America show, which we keep having to rewrite. And there are sections of the late in the second act of the America show dealing with Nixon and Reagan that I feel like, oh, we've got to update those and rewrite those and get more into Clinton and Bush and a little bit more, because that's now more recent history. And it felt like I wanted to do something that could that can respond more quickly to the events of the day. And it seems like we're always performing during a World Series, during a basketball playoff game, during a Super Bowl, during the Kentucky Derby. They're always going up against the French Open, the Masters. There's always some major event that every guy in the audience is sitting there going, why the hell am I here? I'd much rather be.
Yes, it's the nature of our profession. We miss major sporting events. Right. So we're going to create them ourselves.
We're going to create major sporting events ourselves. And there was some concern Well, interestingly enough, this was we kicked around a number of ideas. We've talked for years about reducing the great operas of the world. And it seems like we got a start when we reduced Wagner's Ring Cycle. But that was not really on the short list this time, I think. That seemed more complicated than we could deal with at this time.
Yeah, that's something we'd still like to do, I think, if I could speak for both of us. But probably something you'd do with symphony orchestras, like a night at the Pops or something. But the venues that we normally tour to, the Civic and University venues, that doesn't seem like something that necessarily would book there. So we wanted to write something that would book there. We wanted something we were interested in. The same list always, something that's accessible. Yeah. There was some question, would theater people want to go see reduced sports? Well, nothing is universal. There's not a single answer for that. But Jane Martin, my wife, our general manager, said whenever she booked a sports show into her theater in Ireland, it always booked like gangbusters. But the debate was, women are generally the ones who buy the tickets. Mm-hmm. And the men sometimes take some convincing. But if the women thought there was a show that the men would like to go see, and so our booking agent, Neil Benson, ran it past a number of presenters who were all very excited about it. And so that sort of sealed the deal.
It did seal the deal. They were very excited. And in-house, Neil has a staff of agents that sort of canvass the country. And they were all excited about the notion of selling a reduced sports show. So, I mean, if we're excited about writing it and they're excited about selling it, that seems like an excellent combination.
So since it's crystal clear in your head, what ideas do you have?
The major idea is that it just seems like the three of us, for the most part, are dressed like, you know, ESPN sportscasters.
And terrible colored blazers.
Yeah, and terrible colored blazers, which will also work in the master's section. And that we can, you know, those guys are always reading off teleprompters and reading off pages. But here's the thing that really appeals to me.
And I know what this is, and it's sad.
Is that if we have a joke, if we have a new joke about something that happened in the sports world that day, we can write it down and read it as a news thing. We don't have to memorize it.
It seems a lot of my ideas, and if I'm understanding your ideas too, come from not only the sports themselves, but the way they're covered, either in the media or, I guess, mostly in the media, movies or sports casting.
Yeah, I think it's so prevalent now, and even in politics, and even in the arts to a certain degree, the sports metaphors are always so strong in like the coverage of politics. Oh, it's a dead heat. They're Obama and Clinton are running neck and neck. You don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, and mixing them is always fun too. A lot of my ideas have to do with, what if the real world behaved the way sports people do? Like somebody in an office sends a fax successfully and then does, you know, the chicken dance, you know, or is high-fiving everybody, you know, in the office. Oh, good job, man, you're awesome.
Well, and I think to a certain degree, a lot of our shows, particularly like the book show and the Bible show, is that if you haven't read the books or read the Bible, you've seen a lot of the movies based on the books and the Bible. So, and I think that's true about sports as well. If you're not fans of those sports, you've probably seen Field of Dreams or The Natural or something.
Rocky.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of boxing, but I've seen Rocky.
Or Brian Song, et cetera.
Yeah, the classic and the new tier jerkers. Yeah. So we're going to go through now just the list of ideas that Reed and I have been jotting down independently of each other since we've known that it was going to be a sports show for about a month, 6 weeks now. This is the first time we've shared these ideas with each other. And so we're going to share them with you as well. And we'll see whether we're anywhere close to being on the same page or not.
This is David Koechner from The Comebacks. You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Well done.
You got the read.
Well, the first thing I have is real workers behaving like the athletes, which I mentioned.
Which is an idea I had too. You know how like the NBA playoffs are right now, and they're always interviewing guys, they're interviewing Kobe Bryant at the end of the first half. How would you like to be in the middle of your work day and have somebody interview you about how your day is going on national television?
Well, that's what's happening right now. I'm in the middle of my day and you're interviewing me.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. I like this idea, and one of my ideas is like we do this to audience members.
Yeah. How do you think it's going so far? I don't know that we want the answer, but we'll ask the question.
How was your day? How did your day go today? You know, that could be really fun.
We hand out foam fingers to the audience, but maybe it's a different finger. Has to be something about one of the world's most ridiculous sports, curling. Some of these are just like, yeah. I mean, this is the way we start to write. Yeah. There has to be something about curling.
Yeah, if we do a thing about curling, with any luck, that'll get us more touring in Canada, won't it?
Yeah, and in Norway and Sweden and Finland in the winter. I thought there's probably something about how did various sports get invented.
Yeah.
The birth of sports, maybe with the cavemen.
Sure.
Interviewing real people like they were athletes, which is similar to what you said, but what if everybody spoke in cliches the way, you know, I'm going to go out and give 100%,
right.
Let the chips fall where they may, and God willing, we'll end up on top.
Right. Well, this is, again, speaking in cliches, that's how I do talk.
Right. Yes, that'll be an easy one.
Yeah.
There are now life coaches, but what if life coaches were like sports coaches? What would that be like? Yeah. When you successfully close a deal, do you dump Gatorade on your boss's head? I don't know.
You do now.
I guess you do now. That made you laugh. That's good. That's just off the top of my head. Synchronized swimming. Mm-hmm. I think we need us with our hairs gelled and our nose plugged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't know. My hair. Well, anyway. Yes, announcers, athletes, cliches. There's something about, you know, basketball was invented by the Mayans. In Central America, and the losing team was killed. There's something funny there.
There is something funny there.
The running of the bulls, or the bulls. Mm. Yeah.
Seems like people just slipping in bull crap.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
The budget for fake bull poo is going to be very high on this.
It's huge. Although people constantly tell us we're full of it. But I've often somebody asked me once, what sports figure would you like to be, or no, I didn't think this up, but somebody said it. They said secretariat, and so I thought, so there should be a scene between retired racehorses and, you know, being put to stud, and what a tough, and they're exhausted, and one of them turns out to be a gelding or something, you know.
That's what Barry Bonds is doing right now. He's out to stud, isn't he?
I think so. And then maybe, do we look to inventing the sport of the future? What would the sport, I think of Say Anything, John Cusack saying kickboxing is our sport of the future. But if we were to look ahead, like the Ultimate Fighting Championships have really come on of late. Is that the sport of the future? I don't know.
Yeah. Wasn't it going to be Rollerball? Didn't I see that movie?
What?
Yeah.
Yes, twice.
Twice, yeah.
So that's my sort of initial list.
Okay. Well, I love all those historical ideas, because you and I have both independently written sports shows in the past. You co-wrote a thing called Generic Play, which was hysterical, in college, about the trials and tribulations of Vern Simmons, the world's ping pong championship. But basically, it was the Rocky movie.
Yeah, it was the Rocky set in the rough and tumble world of professional table tennis.
Yeah, and you played the Burgess Meredith character. You played the coach as Burgess Meredith from the Rocky movies.
Yeah, and so Vern Simmons, who's the Rocky character, performed by co-author Kevin Ruff. He gets to the championship and he's trying to change his game. He's a hard hitter and he wants to finesse the guy. You can't finesse him, Vern. You're a masher. That's your game. You know, that sort of thing.
Why do I think that character is going to be in the show?
That character's in two of the other shows already. He's in the book show. He's in the book show twice.
Yeah. Well, and I co-wrote a play for kids called The First Olympics, which is basically a children's theater version of the Atalanta myth, which people suspect is the description of how the first Olympics was ever created. And so that's that what you're talking about, the history of the inventions of certain sports. I suspect the history of these kinds of things is going to figure prominently.
Yeah, like the guy who told the runner in ancient Greece, go run 26 miles to let him know.
Yeah, right.
that was a moment to remember.
That was a moment to remember. But I think, like in all of our shows, this show will also provide a public service because, you know, theater people. Do theater people watch sports?
The answer is no.
The answer is no. So we'll be providing a service explaining certain sports to a theater-going audience that probably isn't very savvy about this kind of stuff.
No, we're helping them lower their geek quotient.
Right.
I'm a little nervous about which of the current RSC members are actually going to be able to be in this show. Some of them are more geeky than others.
That probably suits.
that might just work. So I think I have some, you know, the history of inventions ideas as well. Yeah, it just seems like I suspect we'll be saying "Let the games begin" for the next 15 months. These are all random. This was literally a debate we got into around the table someplace with some friends of ours. They were saying, "Yeah, some guy was saying, "I cheer against the Lakers." You don't cheer against the team; you cheer for a team. You know, what's the etymology of that kind of language?
Oh, right.
Those cheer. How do you support a team? There's some sort of, could be something about rabid fans. Rabid fans.
Fan, short for fanatic.
Exactly right.
Yeah, this is exactly. See, there's what I wrote. Interviewing audience members like it's halftime. How was your day? How do you think the second half will go?
Yeah.
All right. I guess we're doing that. I have this idea. There's got to be a golf scene, and I don't know much about golf, but I do know that they wear ridiculous outfits.
So that's what the scene can be about.
I think that's what it, I think, and I think it opens the second act. It opens the second act where we come out like we do in the Bible show, where we come out in those big hats and the robes. I think we come out at the open of second act in the three most ridiculous golfing outfits.
And we think they're fantastic.
Well, and you had this, there's a circus gag about a golf.
Yeah, where you have a sort of an oversized golf club with Velcro on the head, and then you have a fake golf ball with the opposite kind of Velcro on it. And so you could tee it up and take a swing and make it look like you're going to hit the ball into the audience, and it disappears, but in fact it's on the head of, stuck to the head of the club behind your back.
Perfect. Well, and it makes the audience think we're going to hit something at him again.
And some nights it doesn't work. That's what happened in the circus. I think that's why he got cut.
Oh, whoops. Well, I suspect those inflatable balls from the book show might make a return.
Callbacks are good.
That's also my favorite stage direction in the published edition of the All the Great Books script, is that when we dump the balls out into the second act, the stage direction reads, Matt and Austin empty their ball sacks at the audience.
Why is that? I don't follow.
I just think that's a very descriptive way of putting it.
Yeah, it describes what... Oh, wait a minute. Say...
I have a couple ideas for just these running gags throughout, where one is that you're the most athletic, like sort of like the coach, and every time we do something good, you hit me and Croak on the ass.
Well, I do that anyway, so that'll be natural.
Right. So it's just like, and we get just sick of it. Please stop touching us there.
Maybe we chew tobacco.
But I think any of these kinds of things that we then have to explain as part of the comic scene, we explain, well, why do they hit each other on the ass? What's that about?
Let's find out, shall we?
Ma'am,
if you would come up here.
And this other idea of a running thing is that every time you mention the word baseball, I collapse to the floor asleep because it's so boring. I hate this, but you don't know it. But you don't know at first that I'm falling asleep because you just think, oh my God, something's happened to him. It's one of those moments like, what happened? Something
easier. And then you figure out the opposite when you say Star Trek.
Well, then you say cricket, and then two of us fall asleep.
Yes, three times as boring, and no result.
And then when we go to England, it'll be reversed. But now here's this: if you had to pick one thing that you know, absolutely know right now, will absolutely, definitely, 100% be in the show when we come to do it. Do you have one? Do you know? Because that's the thing, we have all these ideas, and I don't think it's very likely that all of these ideas that we've just gone through, none of them will make it. Here's the one I think is definitely going to be in the show: that the show ends somehow with us accomplishing a huge task. I think we're the underdogs coming from behind, the classic sports cliche, coming from behind to win the game with in slow motion, with dramatic music, and we finally win the game, and we slide down to our knees, we all take off our jerseys, and we're wearing sports bras.
Brandi Chastain.
Our salute to Brandi Chastain. I'm absolutely convinced that's how the show is going to end.
That could be.
It could well be. It might not also be.
Of all the things we've talked about, I think the talking of cliches and the what is it called, meta, when you're just talking about it as you're doing it,
yeah.
That's so much of sports, which is more of a general thing, but I feel pretty certain that's going to be a part of it.
I think that, yeah. Well, it's a little bit like we covered Huckleberry Finn by talking about whether we should cover Huckleberry Finn, you know, and having that debate. And I suspect that's how we'll cover a lot of the sports in this show.
Well, there has to be something about steroids. We haven't talked about it, but whether we come out in overinflated costumes, overinflated in some areas and underinflated in other areas, I don't know.
But that's the thing, and that's the other thing. I mean, there's so many scandals that have nothing to do with the game itself, but this athlete is taking steroids, this athlete's killing dogs, this athlete is sleeping with, you know, Madonna. You know, it seems like it would be fun to, while we're doing a sports show, to be able to respond to these sorts of things quickly.
Well, what's the latest story? Kate Hudson is dating Alex Rodriguez, apparently. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
okay. See? There, it writes itself.
So that's the new show. We'll see you in 15 months. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite ideas for funny sports scenes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. As you have just heard, we're going to need all the help we can get. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reducedshakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, huge athletic supporter Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Paul White. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to David Koechner, star of the sports spoof movie The Comebacks. I guess I'll have to finally watch that. And thanks to the many folks who made new show suggestions, including the one that just came in this morning from Kent Stewart, who recommended that we do The Complete History of the Future Abridged, which seems like a show, even more than our American History show, that we would just have to keep rewriting and updating constantly, as every new day would prove us more and more wrong. And finally, thanks to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 132/396 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And here's the final horn. You can add that in later.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.